So far in the course, we've been thinking about the little things that are already happening to support spiritual care. And we suggested that it's not just what you do to support them, but it's the way you do it. This is about the skills that you use and the type of attention that you give in your day-to-day interaction with residents. In other words, developing communication skills and developing relationships. One way to think about this is to see life from a resident's perspective. For example, residents might be thinking or wanting to say, "Get to know me," or "It's not just what you do, it's how you make me feel," or "Help me to feel comfortable, safe and secure in my surroundings." Now, these comments are inviting us into the resident's world. This doesn't happen by chance. We can be proactive. We can develop our listening skills to help us to tune into the resident's feelings and their needs. In this next interview, Head of Care Anna talks about how staff can develop the way they use conversations with older people as a way to build relationships. She highlights the skills that will help to make these conversations more meaningful, and more meaningful conversations help to build relationships which have the capacity to grow. Now here's Leslie's interview with Anna.
So, welcome Anna. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about your role in the care home.
So I am Anna, Head of Care in Davidson House. I supervise the 14 leaders directly and the activities coordinator to ensure that the residents that we look after, 40 residents that we have in Davidson House, are surrounded by love, friendship, respect, dignity, and also being cared for in a person-centred way.
Okay, so taking this idea then that it's not just what you do, it's the way that you do it, can you tell me a bit about the sorts of skills that staff need and the types of attention they give that makes a real difference to residents' wellbeing?
Yeah, I think to be a carer, and we say this, we do training every week and so on, and ongoing personal development training, but I think what I always say is to be a carer, it can never be taught. You need to have that from the heart, and you need to have compassion, and you need to have a heart kind of thing and want to look after people. And I think the biggest skill somebody can have is communication skills and the art of conversation or body language, eye contact, a smile even, that can make a huge difference to a resident, as well as the practical stuff of personal care, assisting with eating and drinking, things like that. But I do think just a good heart and a listening ear and a shoulder to laugh on or cry on maybe is definitely the best thing.
So that sort of sounds like a bit of a mixture of developing our communication skills but also linked to relationship building.
Definitely, yes.
So you mentioned there the importance of conversations,
yeah.
Especially when they become part of everyday life. Mm-hmm. Why are conversations important?
Well, I think that's what makes up your day-to-day, whether you either live in the care home and also for the staff who work in the care home, because a conversation can be so meaningful. It can be maybe only a couple of minutes long, but mean so much to that person because somebody's took time to listen to them, maybe give advice or maybe just give a small opinion, but they've been listened to. And even myself, I mean, when I go for a conversation with somebody, it does make a difference on how that person reacts to my conversation and how they can help or just listen to me kind of thing.
So you're sort of starting to talk there about how we listen day to day, but we have conversations as we go about our business. But you also mentioned the word a meaningful conversation. What makes a conversation meaningful?
I think it's meaningful to that person depending on what they want to talk about and the way you react to them wanting to have that conversation with you. If you're preoccupied, it's a busy care home, there's 1,000 things to do. The carers have not just the carers, the whole team have a big job to do, 40 residents, health and wellbeing to look after. But I do think if you just take that step back sometimes, and not become so task orientated and become person centred, and give that person that couple of minutes of your time, not distracted, then that is meaningful to them, because then they feel valued and respected as an individual.
So just to help me understand that a bit better, can you give me a practical example of when staff you've seen staff having a meaningful conversation with residents?
So I know, for example, just last week, one of our residents, who she does not have any diagnosis of dementia, she's came to the care home kind of not on her own accord. She was vulnerable, and it was a decision that had to be made for her health and well-being. So she can be quite down at times. One of the team leaders had seen that she wasn't dressed last week and still in her jammies quite late on, which was quite unusual for this resident. So by that trigger of, well, that's out of character, the team leader went and asked her, had a quiet conversation outside as she was having her cigarette, and just asked if she wanted to have a chat and kind of what was wrong, or if there was anything she wanted to talk about, anything that the team leader could help her with. And the resident just explained that she couldn't put her finger on why she felt like that. And the way the team leader, I could see from office window, because it looked right onto the courtyard, the interaction between the two of them, it was quite somber at first. I mean, it was, the team leader was trying to cheer her up, but I think she realised that there wasn't going to be that. The resident was down and she respected that. So she says, well, is there anything that I could help with? But she just wanted to have a chat, because she wanted to offload how she was feeling, but she could not put into words why she was feeling like that. And the team leader really just took on board, and actually I heard the resident turn around and saying, that's why you're a carer. And I thought, that just sums it up, that really she's just took on board a small trigger of not being dressed in the morning to that there's something more than that. And I do think that's a meaningful conversation. And it really, when I was sitting in my, it kind of made me proud.
Yeah, that's a really nice example. It sounds like the member of staff, the team leader, was, you know, if we come down to the nitty-gritty, she was using her sense of awareness and alertness about what was happening, and noticing. She was inviting the residents to join in a conversation. She was using questions to get the conversation going, but then she was letting go and letting the resident,
also respecting that maybe she doesn't want to disclose that, but she knows that somebody is there for her, kind of thing, if she ever did.
And then what kicks in then is how well that the team leader listens, and that whole business of listening skills,
and very much person centred around that individual.
So that suggests that not only do you listen, but you need to be alert to picking up the non-verbal vibes that this message
is. Definitely, yeah, observe like from afar kind of thing, and then that's your cue to maybe start that conversation up.
From what Anna's said, there are some pretty practical things that staff can do to support the well-being of residents and to turn conversations into meaningful conversations. Now, practicing our active listening is a good starting point. So how is active listening so different from what we do already? And what does it involve? Here are some pointers. Firstly, it's about how we listen. That means using gestures, tone of voice, eye contact, and body language. It means being approachable, non-judgmental, and respectful. Secondly, it's about being more aware that we listen to each other on different levels. Now that means, most likely, we're only partly listening as we're thinking about how we're going to reply or what we're going to say. We might be distracted by other things going on around us. In active listening, though, we're truly seeing and hearing the other person, paying attention without rehearsing our own responses, not judging or assuming. Now, at a deeper level of active listening, we might be able to catch the unsaid words and some of the person's feelings. Remember Anna's example. It showed a member of staff who appreciated the need for silences. This allowed the resident time to gather their thoughts and express them in a way that they wanted. She was truly seeing and hearing the other person, and she was tuned in to their needs and their feelings. So, our task for today is all about active listening. we'd like you to try out some active listening during a short conversation with a resident. As you're listening, try to be more aware of how you're listening. So good luck with that and enjoy your conversations with residents.